The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, look at Mark chapter number 9 again. Verse number 23, it says, Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. God called me to take a church back in 2004 in a remote place in New Mexico called Portales, New Mexico. And it is so remote that my wife said it's too remote. And she didn't want to go there at first. But God led us there. When I got to that town was a very small town, about 12,000 people. And in that town, I counted, I believe, 8 Baptist churches in that town. And you say, why do you want to go pastor a church where there's already 8 Baptist churches in that town? Sad to say, there's a lot of Baptist churches, but not a lot of Baptist churches doing much. There wasn't any soul winning going on, except there was one church that was doing soul winning, but the rest of them weren't. They weren't using the King James Bible. A lot of them were changing from the traditional hymns to contemporary music. And God took us there to that little town, to a church there in Portales. And I was excited. I was excited because God brought me there. God took me to that town to pastor that church. Church was paid off. It had 8 acres of land. It wasn't a fancy building. It was a metal building, but it was paid off. It was their church building. There was a group of people there. There was about 25 people at the church that voted me in. They were very country folk. I come in. I'm a stranger to them. I come in. I have my pocket hanky. They'd never seen one of those before. And I had a suit coat on. They'd never seen one of those either. I was different than them. And we had to learn each other. But when I got there, there was a man in our church, an older man, that came up to me. And he was, I guess, trying to be an encouragement. And he came to me and he said, Now, Brother Butler, you know this. This town is a preacher-killing town. I said, Thank you for the encouraging words. But can I say he was right? That town did kill a lot of preachers. It caused a lot of preachers a lot of hurt. But I was there for a reason. God took me there. I knew God took me there to pastor that church. I had no doubt about it. I knew I was in the center of God's will. The same man, later on, we started talking about the church growing and seeing God do great things there. And I was praying for a big day. You know, we had 25, then we had 30, then we had 35. I remember when we hit 60, one of my deacons said, Brother Butler, he said, this is the most we've had in all the years I've been here, 60 people. We're very excited about what God is doing in the church. And I told the church that we're gonna pray for 100. And I've told this story here before. It was a funny story. I'm not sure, Dad, if you all were with us on that day or not, but I remember that day we had 99 in the church, and I was going to start preaching, and we counted them, 99 people. I was like, we prayed for 100. And so I started preaching, and we had like a diamond cut glass on the shape in the back door there. And as I'm preaching, this lady looks in the window holding a baby. And I stopped. I scared everybody because I hollered out, get her! And they all ran, my ushers ran out there, opened the door, scared the lady, brought her in with her baby at 101 that day. We're all clapping and excited. And it was neat seeing God do that in that place there where it can't be done. The preacher, I was there and I was talking about doing a big day, and the preacher says it can't be done. He says that people won't come, and in the city, people are different in the city, Brother Butler. Us country folk, we're different. They're not gonna come for promotions and this. And I found out country folk are like city folk. They like free things, amen. And we gave away turkeys, we gave away watermelons, we gave away anything we can think of. I mean, if we could afford it, we gave it away. But I remember our big day, and I'm saying all this to say that God is able. On that day, I remember our big day, we were praying for God to bless it. I told the people on that day, I had my assistant pastor and myself, I said, if we hit our goal, and I forget what our goal was on that day, if we hit our goal, we're going to get 2 dunking booths, and you can dunk the preacher and the assistant pastor. For some reason, they dunked me more than the assistant pastor. I don't know why. Till this day, I still haven't figured it out. I guess they love me more. I don't know. But anyway, But I remember on that day how God blessed us. And we had on that day amazing. This was our one-year anniversary being there. Took the church 25. One-year anniversary, we had 165 on that day. We're averaging over 100. God was blessing. In a little country town. We had another church across town that didn't have a pastor. And they asked me if I could be their pastor. I was going to be pastor in both churches. They were asking me to take that one too. And I thought about it, and it just wasn't going to work out. But God was doing things, and it was amazing. And then the next year, we had a big day of 175, and it kept growing, and God was doing things. You know, in the midst of that, when I was working the church and doing that, I didn't doubt it. I just knew God. I had so much faith that God could do it that I was just going along with it. I was just out there. We knocked on every door in our town more than once. We knocked on country towns as long as the dogs didn't chase us away. And it was interesting, you know. And I kept seeing God do big things, do great things. And I knew God was able. But I remember the day when things started happening. We started having some problems. People started causing some trouble. And all of a sudden, I was like Peter. I took my eyes off the Lord. And I started looking at the ocean. I started looking at the waves. I started looking at the problems. And all of a sudden, my faith started to decrease, and I started doubting things. And all of a sudden, it seemed like things weren't going the way they ought to go. You know, a lot of times as a Christian, we're that way. You know, God, there's no restraints on God at all. God is able to do anything that you need him to do for you. The only restraint he has is you. And I want to help you today, and I pray that God can, with his word, can help you to understand that he is able to do anything. Here the Bible tells us in verse 23 again, it says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So here the Lord is talking to this father. His son is possessed with demons. And the father said, Lord, I've taken him to your disciples. And by the way, the disciples came to the Lord and said, Lord, why could you do it and we couldn't? And the Lord says, this kind cometh forth but by prayer and fasting. And it's very obvious that they were a hindrance for this young man to be released from these demons. And so here we find that Jesus, that this father brings the son to him and says, your disciples couldn't cast the demons out. Can you do something? And Jesus, the question wasn't for Jesus, can he do something? He threw the question back to him. Jesus said this. He says, if thou canst believe. And today the question isn't this morning, can God do? Can God answer my prayer? Can God save my family member? Can God do this for me? Can God do this for me? The question isn't, can God do those things for you? But rather the question for you today and for me is, can you believe? See, that's all the problem was with this man, the father. He came and he was starting to doubt. Here he brought him to the disciples. Maybe he had faith, but the disciples, they weren't close to God and they couldn't do it. And there wasn't an issue with the Lord. And the Lord says, okay, he says, the question isn't can I do this? Rather, the question is, can you believe? Can you believe I can do it? And he said, and he told the Lord, he says, I believe, but he says, help my unbelief. I think all of us struggle at times with unbelief. All of us struggle where that little bit of doubt. And I know times where we'll be out in the hallway and we're looking for a big day and praying for that 1,000, and we'll be out there getting ready to come out, and preacher's nervous. Not that he doesn't have faith, not that he doesn't believe, but you know, there's always that nervousness, like, what if they don't come? And we walk out, and every preacher's that way. And he walks out, and he's so blessed to see the crowd and find out we had over 1,000. You know, God is able to do anything you need him to do. It doesn't matter what it is that you have in your life. Maybe today you're struggling with some issues with your health. And you say, can God heal me? Well, the question again is, God comes back to you. Do you believe? Do you have faith in God? Now, we're going to look at some things that will help us in this area. And we'll find, too, that there's some times where God says no. But I'm afraid many times where we think God said no, it wasn't that he said no. It's rather that we didn't have enough belief. We didn't trust him enough. We said, Lord, provide for me on this bill. I got this bill coming up. I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. And you get off your knees, and then you're still worried about it, fretting, and you're trying to figure it all out when God says, I thought you were giving it to me. And here the Lord tells him, he says, if thou canst believe, he says, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, Brother Butler, what does that mean when he says all things are possible? Well, it's very simple. All things are possible. It doesn't matter your situation. It doesn't matter if it's a problem again with your health, if it's a problem with your finances, maybe a problem with your children, a wayward child. It doesn't matter. All things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible to him who believeth. Believeth what? Believeth in God, and that God has the ability to do all things. Hey, we have a big God. I told this in my Sunday school class, and in that same church in New Mexico, I had a man in our church that I got to bring to church. I met him. I met him out door knocking. I didn't meet him. I met a lady he was living with. It was an older lady. He was staying there, boarding with her family. And I was talking to her under the door, and he overheard our conversation. He was a backslidden Christian. Dale was a big guy. Dale is, he was about 6'3", 6'2", and his one hand was the size of my both hands. He got arrested one time, and they had to put those ankle, the shackles, whatever they put on their feet, on his hands. They were so big. Huge guy. And Dale called to the church, and he wanted to meet with me at McDonald's. I went down there, meet him at McDonald's, and we started talking, and he says, I'm away from God, and my life's a mess, and I want to get back to God. I want God to help me. And so I started working with Dale and trying to help Dale get back in church and get his life back on track. And, you know, what I saw is that it wasn't the fact that Dale believing that God could do it, because God could do it. You know, God is able to do whatever he wants to do, but you got to have faith. I told Dale, I said, Dale, it doesn't matter what you've done. God can put you back on your feet. He can help you through this. And God brought Dale back to, God brought him in church, got him involved. He became my music man. He started leading music. And we didn't need fans in our church. When he'd wave his hands, he'd fan everybody. And but you know, the thing about Dale was, I would go out soul winning. A lot of times out, you know, in the country, you meet people out there that are kind of rough. I met this one guy, he's a Harley Davidson guy, and he was rough, he was mean. But I took Dale with me one time to visit that man. And Dale was behind me, his head's about this high, his shoulders like the huge guy. And he looks mean, too. And I tell him, when we knock on doors, look real mean, you know, get that frown on your face. And I knocked on the door, and this Harley Davidson guy walks to the door, he goes, what do you want? You know, and just being a grouch. And I just kind of looked over at Dale and looked at him, and I said, we are from the church. Oh, yeah, come on in, you know. Things change. It wasn't, you know, the thing, it wasn't me, it was Dale behind me. That influence that person. See, the thing, if we can understand today that whatever it is that you're going through, that God is the one that can get you through. It's not you. It's not your efforts. It's not your talents. It's not your abilities, but rather it's God. God can do all things. He that believeth in God, what? God's ability to do all things. You know, we all have seen the bumper sticker that God is my co-pilot. God is my co-pilot. You know, rather, that bumper sticker should have read that I'm a co-pilot and God is the pilot. Because I can't do anything on my own. See, if you were to take me down here to the DFW airport and get me on one of those big old planes and you get your family, get in the plane and get all the church members in the plane, and I've never flew a plane, and I get there and I get in the plane and I'm the pilot for today, and I say, welcome to Southwest Airlines. We are ready to take off. We're going to be taxiing off here in about a minute. Sit back, relax, close your eyes, enjoy the ride. By the way, it's my very first time flying a plane. Never flew a plane before. And I'll probably hear a stampede of people running off the plane, right? Because you're not going to trust in me because I'm not a pilot. But what if I said, by the way, I'm up here, I'm going to be observing, but let me tell you, we have a veteran pilot up here. He's been a pilot for 40 years, and he flew all the presidents, and he's going to fly us today. You know what? You'd fall asleep because you could trust him. See, the thing is, God is our pilot, not our co-pilot. We have to put our trust in the Lord. When you put God in the driver's seat, all things are possible. All things are possible to him that believeth. Believeth who? Believeth in God. We got to give God a chance. Most likely, you have already tried to do it on your own. You say, well, it just doesn't seem to be working. Okay, you're doing it on your own. I tried to do this, and I tried to fix this, and I had all these problems. Well, you're doing that on your own. You're trying to make it happen. You're trying to pay your bills on your own. You're trying to get your health better on your own. You're trying to overcome bitterness on your own. You're trying to deal with family problems on your own. You're trying to deal with issues with your children on your own. You say, Brother, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried to do these things and I can't seem to get a hang of it and I can't seem to overcome it. Well, more than likely, you've been doing things on your own. Rather than doing things on your own, what you ought to do is just say, God, why don't you take over? God, I want you to have the seat, the pilot seat in my life. Now we see what we've done. We've seen the mess that we've made. I've made a mess in my life, trying to do things on my own, trying to make things work out a certain way. In my own life, I can't do it. I need God's help. Who is God? Who is the one that can help us? Who is this one that can get us through? Who's the one that says, do you believe? Do you believe that I can do it? Do you believe? He's the one, can I say, that calmed the storm? You say, Brother Butler, who's the one that you're telling me to trust in? Who's the one that you're telling me to put my faith in? Who's the one that you're telling me that I need to depend on and that needs to help me to get through these things? Who's the one that I need to lean on? Who's the one that I need to trust in? Well, he's the one that calmed the storm in Mark chapter 4, verse 37. It says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Jesus was asleep in the ship. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? You know, the Lord was right there in the ship. He was asleep. You know what they should have done? They should have just went and fell asleep too. Because God was in control. Hey, who is this that I need to trust in to help me with my problems? Who is this that's going to help me to overcome anxiety? Who's the one's going to help me overcome fear? Who's the one's going to help me overcome bitterness? Who's the one's going to put my family back together? Who's the one's going to help my child get back to the family, get back to God? Who's the one's going to help me with my illness? Who's the one's going to help me in my spiritual life? Can I say the one that calmed the storm? The Bible says that he said, Peace, be still, and the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. Brother Butler, who's the one that's going to help me when I have no other hope? When I can't take another step? When I fear to get up in the morning? When I fear to go about the day? Who's the one that's going to help me through this? Who are you telling me? Can I say he's the one that raised Lazarus from the dead? In John chapter number 11, verse 14, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, verse 39, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. You know, sometimes we look at situations in our life and we say, There's no hope. It's hopeless. I can't take another step. God couldn't even help me with this problem. God couldn't even fix this. She said, Lord, he's been dead 4 days and he stinketh. Sometimes in our own life, with our own problems, we can truly say, God, but my problems, they stink. God, there's no hope. Lord, it's hopeless. It's been dead 4 days. I've given up on it. I've thrown in the towel. I've accepted it, that it'll never get any better. Whatever it might be that you're going through, you might say, Lord, what are you talking about, roll away the stone? God, we've already accepted that we're going to have this issue. We've already accepted the problem in our life. We've already accepted that. And Mary and Martha came to the Lord and said, Lord, if thou would have been here, he wouldn't have died. Okay, roll away the stone. But Lord, he's been dead 4 days, and he stinketh. We accepted that he's dead, but Lord, you should have been here. And God is saying, I am here. Hey, I can do anything. God says, do you believe? It's not that, God, you should have been here. Lord, you should have done this. And Lord, if you could have. And Lord, you should have. The Lord is just coming back with the question, do you believe? Do you believe enough to roll back that stone and say, Lord, have at it? Lord, my life, everybody around me says it's over. My problems, my marriage, my children, my finances, my health. People say, just it's over. Just go ahead and give up and die. There was a man that was a friend of my father, and he had worked with us in the nursing home, and this man got cancer. And he went to the doctor. The doctor said, go home, find a comfortable chair, you're going to die. And he went home, and he decided that he was not going to die. And he started praying. He said, God, if you would take this cancer away from me, he says, I will run the Boston Marathon for you. I'll do it, and I'm going to put something on my T-shirt to let people know. And God did heal him. And by the way, he did run the Boston Marathon. Now, you can say, you can accept, as some do, well, doctor said it, I guess it's hopeless. I guess my finances are where they're at, I guess it's hopeless. I guess my children, where they're at, I guess it's hopeless. My health, whatever it might be. Or you can say, I'll roll away the stone. Lord, just help my unbelief. I struggle a little bit, but God, I'm going to trust you. Jesus says, roll away the stone. They say, but Lord, he has been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe? You see it again? It's not, does the Lord believe? Can the Lord do it? Is God strong enough? Is God able to do this thing? He said, no. He says, do you believe? If you believe enough, bring your son to me. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Roll away the stone. But Lord, he's been dead 4 days and he stinks. Then I'd tell you if you believed, if you believed. Look what he says here. He says here, he tells her, Jesus said to her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. You know, a lot of times we live a miserable life. A lot of times we're depressed. You might have money, you might have a nice house, you might have a nice car, you might have nice clothes, and be so depressed on the inside because you're not experiencing the glory of God. You're not experiencing a victory. You're not experiencing a miracle of God. You're not experiencing God doing something great in your life. We moved here in 2010. We left New Mexico. On the way here, I had a job, had a house all picked out, had our job. It was going to be exciting. We got here, job fell through, house fell through because I can't get a house without a job. So we lived in a hotel across the highway for 3 weeks. Me, my wife, our 3 boys, and a dog. And that dog tried to abandon us too. He tried to run away. We got him back. He said, no, we're going to suffer. You're going to suffer with us. He did. In the hallways, they let you keep dogs. He's a boxer. And I opened the door. He took off running like a child. And he stopped, looked back, and I started chasing him. He took off running again. But you know, through those times, we struggled. Even my wife would say, are you sure this is God's will? You know, and that lasted for quite, it wasn't just those 3 weeks. After 3 weeks, the job, the house, and all that. But even then, we struggled and struggled and struggled. And are you sure we're supposed to be here? You know, there's even times where, let's go back. And then the question is like, go back to what? There's nothing to go back to. I know we're in God's will. I know where we're at. This is God's perfect will for our life. And we hung on there. And we believed in God. Even though, you know, sometimes you say, well, I trusted God and I believed in God and he didn't come through for me. Well, I trusted God and believed in God the first year and he didn't come through as I would want him to come through for me. I trusted God and believed God the second year and he didn't come through as I thought he should come through for me. I trusted God and believed in God a third year, and he didn't come through like I wanted him to. But all of a sudden, something started changing. God opened up the windows of heaven, and blessings came. It's not wondering, can God do it for me, but rather, do I believe he can do it? Do I believe he's able? And am I willing to wait to see God do it? And I believe that God has a timetable for everybody's life. What an honor, what a privilege to win Brother Nosa to the Lord, Brother Nosa Sr. What a blessing that was that day, Ms. Edipai, with you and your husband, kneeling in the office over here, in Dr. Smell's office, and seeing him just tears flowing on his face, trusting Christ. It was, 8 months before that you said these words, I want to stop praying, I'm tired. I've been praying for years, 16, 19 years. She said, Brother Butler, I don't want to pray anymore for it. And I told her, I said, don't give up. I says, God can answer it. Amen. Just trust him. And we got to encourage one another. And she said, you know what? I'm not going to stop praying. Little did we know that your husband would come and get saved. Hey, do you believe? Here the Lord is telling her to roll away the stone. Jesus said to her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou heardest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it. You know, he wanted to grow their faith, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus spoke, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. See, the Lord, if the Lord would have came when Lazarus was sick and healed him, the neighbors would have been, he was probably getting better anyway. But when you're dead 4 days, all right, and you stink, and God comes through and performs a miracle, God gets all the glory. Why does God take so long to do what he's doing in my life? Because God wants all the glory. God wants to be able to get all the praise when you can say, my friends have failed me, and every situation I've tried has failed me, and there's no hope, and it's hopeless, and I can't see a way out. God loves working on the midnight hour. When it just seems like there's no hope, God comes through and says, I can do it, but do you believe? Dost thou? Hey, didn't I just tell you to believe so you can see the glory of God? You can't lose your faith. You got to continue believing. Who is this man? Who is Jesus, the one that you say that I must trust in? The one that put my faith in? The one that I have to depend on? The one that's going to get me? Who is he? Can I say he's the one that fed the 5,000? And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away that they may go into the towns and country round about in the lodge and get victuals, for we are here in the desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all the people. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said unto the disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and looked up to heaven and blessed them and brake and gave the disciples to set them before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled, and they were taking up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets. Can I say that the God that fed the 5,000 can answer your prayer? Can I say the God that raised a man that's been dead 4 days and stinketh and raised him from the grave can answer your prayer? The man that calmed the storm and said, peace, be still, and there was peace in the storm, that's the same person that can bring peace in your life. In my life, I have tried a whole lot of things, and a lot of things have never worked. The reason that most of these things failed in my life is because I tried to do them my way. However, when I stopped trying to figure them out and turn my things over to God, you know, it's kind of like your kids, they take apart something, they can't put it back together. Or maybe the husband. Anyway, my wife says, you ought to read the instructions. I don't like it. I like pictures. I don't like all that writing. It's all, you know, Greek to me. It's like, you know, I can see that goes with that. And extra parts, I say, honey, they give you extra parts, but just in case you lose a part, there's an extra part there. She's 24 years, she's figured out that's not true. But the reason most of our lives fall apart is because we don't turn our life to God. Amazingly, if we turn our life over to God, problems get solved and things begin to work. Just be careful when God starts making things to work in your life, you don't stop trusting him. Amen. He can handle it and start taking things in your life and wondering, I can handle this myself. See, it's funny, you get a kid that's trying to do something they can't do, so you go help them and you start doing it for them, and then they want to take it back. Oh, no, I can do it now. And then they mess it up again and say, no. If you give God your problems, give them to him. Don't keep taking them back from God and say, well, God, I see what you're doing and thank you for helping me, but I can handle it now. God says, no, you can't handle it. My hand's got to be involved in this. What happened when I tried to handle things myself? I failed. What happened when I turned things over to God? I had victory. What happened when I took things back into my own hands? Failure once again. What happened when I gave them back to God? Victory again. Wouldn't it be better just give them to God and leave them there? Well, you know, I'm just so worried. Did you give it to God? Why are you worried? If God has it, you don't have to worry. You know, driving at night. You know, we drive, and my wife, she'll fall asleep as I'm driving, and she pretty much trusts me. And when my wife drives, I don't fall asleep, but I do trust her with one eye open. And but you know, when you have somebody that you can trust, again, the pilot, 40 years, flew all the presidents in the past 20 years, 30 years, hey, I can trust him. Hey, we have a God that has helped a lot of people. God has done a lot of great things. God has brought a lot of victories. And that's the same God that wants to continue. You know, wouldn't it be neat, you know, if God could want to tell some more stories about victories, if he could use your life? Hey, he used other people's lives. He wants to use ours. Philippians 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. It is the Lord that gives me the strength. It is God that gives me the ability to do the things I need to do. You cannot do the things that you ought to do, and you can't have victory in the areas that you need victory without the Lord Jesus Christ. It is with God's help and God and coming in and giving the victory. Without him, it's failure. Without him, there is no victory. We got to understand that it's only through Jesus Christ. I can do all things, not through my own strength, but through Jesus Christ. Through Christ which strengthened me. The Bible tells us again in Matthew 23, chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. We find almost this same phrase used in other scripture verses in the Gospels. The first time we see the phrase, all things are possible, is in Matthew's account of Jesus and the young rich ruler. When Jesus came and told that rich ruler wanted to follow the Lord, and he said, sell all that you have, give to the poor, and follow me. And he couldn't do it. And Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. And they said, but Lord, then who can be saved? And Jesus said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. But God is saying, hey, it doesn't matter who it is and doesn't matter what situation, with God involved in it, it can work. It can happen. No matter what he did, it came up short. If you try to live your life, you try to make things happen, that rich young ruler, he could try to give money to the poor. He could feed the hungry. He could do all those things. But if he doesn't do the thing that God has asked him to do and trust totally on God, he was trusting his money. But if he trusts totally on God, hey, God says, I can do great things through you. But you're holding back. There is something that's controlling you. When the disciples heard Jesus say how hard it is for people to trust in riches and not to be able to go to heaven because of their riches, they said, Lord, then who can be saved? And the Lord says, with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. You see, all things are possible with God. So many things are not possible with man's wisdom or work or resources alone. Only when we trust God enough to turn our lives over to him and believe he is able to do all the things that are possible or even impossible, then we see the impossible possible. In Mark chapter 10, verse 27, but Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Mark 10, verse 27. This is Mark's account of Jesus and the same rich young ruler. Mark 2 records this story. Now, the final time we see the phrase used is in the Garden of Gethsemane, as Jesus was praying before he was arrested and before the death of the cross. We find that here that Jesus said that he said, Lord, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. We're going to see here, sometimes as you look at the Christian life, a lot of times the things that we want to see victory in our life, we don't see victory because we don't believe. We don't trust. You say, I believe God, but do you give it to him? Do you trust him? Or do you fret and worry and toss and turn all night long because you're worried about it? Or do you give it to God and trust him? What must we understand this morning in the area of trusting God? Number one, all things are possible with God. Jeremiah 32, verse 27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? You know what God was saying? God is saying, he's trying to make it very clear to all of us that there's nothing too hard for him. No matter your situation, no matter what you're going through. Well, I believe. Well, how much prayer are you putting into that thing you want to see God do? Are you giving it to God in prayer? Hey, Jesus said, this kind cometh forth only but what? Prayer and fasting. How much prayer and fasting are we doing to see God answer prayer? All things are possible with God. We must understand, if you're going to have victory in your life, you're going to see God do something in your life, you're going to see God answer prayer, you must understand, number one, that all things are possible with God. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Number two, we must understand all things are possible for the person who puts their trust in God. You know, the man said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. See, he said, I have enough belief to believe to bring him to you, but I still struggle with the other part of, is he going to be totally healed? So, Lord, help my unbelief. What he was saying is, Lord, I give them to you. And I struggle, and I can't do this on my own. I can't see the victory on my own, so God, I give them to you. And God, I trust you. All things are possible with God. All things are possible for the person who puts their trust in God. Number three, just because God is able does not always mean he will. See, that's a hard one. Now, I would say probably 75-80% of the stuff that you need in your life, he wants to answer. But a lot of times he lets you do it on your own. He lets you struggle with it because you're not giving it to him. If you give it to him, he'll give you victory. If you trust him, he'll help you through your problems. He'll give you the victory. But there's a percentage of time where you have a problem, and maybe you have come to God, you've given it to God, you prayed, you fasted, but there's some things that God says, no, I can't do that for you, or I won't do that for you for a certain reason. Just because God is able doesn't always mean he will. You know, you're able to do a lot of things for your kids, but do you do everything they ask for? Well, Dad, can you give me $100? No. Dad, you know, can I go out and play in the traffic? No. Dad, can I, you know, as a teenager, if my parents would have saw the things that we did as teenagers, you know, and the time I walked across a bridge, you know, those railings they have, those railing things, and it was there in North Springfield. You remember the waterfall there? And I get up on that, there's cement rails on the side of the bridge, and it drops off about 50 feet down into rocks, boulders, and water coming down. And I'm up there, I was like in fourth grade, I think. I was up there like this, walking across that thing. If I would have asked my parents, can I do that? You know what they said? No. So I didn't ask, I just did it. And if I would have fell off, guess what? I wouldn't be here today. And that would have been really sad. But anyway. But the thing is, God is able, but sometimes God won't. There's been times I would ask my parents for things, and my parents, for some reason, would say no, certain things, because they knew it wouldn't be good for me. The Bible says in Mark chapter 14, verse 36, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And so what he's saying here, he's saying, Lord, the shame of the cross, that I got to carry the sins on the cross, and that means that on the cross, when we think about the crucifixion, I become sin for sinners. I take their sin on me. That means that I, on the cross, Jesus becomes that drug addict for the drug addicts. He becomes the adulterer for the adulterer. He becomes the idolater for the idolater. Every sin that man's ever committed was cast on him, and he had to pay for that sin. And Jesus says, the shame of the cross. If I could just not have to do that, I would love not to have to carry that shame, but not my will, but thine be done. You know, the thing is, there's some things that we might say, God, take this away. Paul said, take this thorn away from me. Jesus says that, he said, my grace is sufficient. If God doesn't take away the thing that you're struggling with, he'll give you the grace to get through it. Amen. Just because God is able doesn't mean that he always will. And let me say lastly, when the answer is no, it's because God has a better plan. Wow, that's a good one. Just because God's, you know, there's been times and I've watched this in the ministry for all these years, and wanting to have part in a ministry, and things wouldn't happen the way I thought it would happen or wanted to happen, but later on I found out it was even better than I ever dreamed. You know, and God had all, and God was like, get back, I'm trying to fix this. You know, it's like, you know, you want to go in and you want to eat this, you know, they put ice cream in the bowl. I want to eat the ice cream, get back, I'm not done. I got to put some chocolate syrup, some bananas, some strawberries, some whipped cream, and a cherry on top, and then I'll give it to you. I'm not done yet. When the answer is no, it's because God has a better plan. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Before I close, let me take you back to our key scripture. He said, Jesus unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible in that believeth. I wonder today, the question is to you. Can you believe that God is possible, that he can do it? God can do it. Are you struggling with trusting God? Are you struggling with saying, I just can't give it all to God? I'm just used to dealing things on my own. I'm just that kind of person. I deal with problems. I deal with it. Well, yeah, look where it's got you. Why don't you just go ahead and decide to say, instead of just saying, God, can you do it? Because the question is going to come back from God, do you believe I can do it? Rather, just give it to God. Say, God, I believe you can do it. What is it today you're struggling with? What is it today that you're saying that I need help with? What is it today that's overwhelming you, that's causing you to lose sleep, that's causing you to go through pain and suffering and heartache and fear and worry? God says, hey, give it to me. He says, I can do all things. I can do all things. He says, even the impossible. With man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. How about it today? Would you give your situation to God and let him have control? If you will do that, God says, if you believe, he says, then you can see the glory of God. I tell you, some of us are not smiling and happy like we ought to be because we're not seeing answers of prayer. We're not seeing the glory of God. It's time to get back to seeing some answers of prayer. Amen. Dost thou believe? Lord, I do, but help my unbelief. How about giving it to God?
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.